Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 190 for March 7th, 2009. Coming up in a few minutes, special coverage from this week's Whiskey Classic Festival in Morristown, New Jersey. First, let's look at the news. One of the best Lowlands distilleries on record is a step closer to revival of sorts. Rosebank was closed down in 1993 by what was then United Distillers and is now Diageo. While the original buildings are no longer available, the stills and mash tun were salvaged by the backers of the Falkirk Distillery Company. They're planning to spend £5 million to build a new distillery using the heart of Rosebank's past. The Scotsman reports Falkirk Council is still considering objections to the plan, but voted to continue discussion on the project and look over the proposed site. The distillery would likely not carry the Rosebank name, which is still owned by Diageo. Limited amounts of Rosebank are still available through Diageo's classic malts releases and through independent bottlers. Spring in the U.S. means the start of horse racing season in Kentucky, and Turfway Park just south of Cincinnati will be hosting the annual Lane's End Stakes later this month on the 21st. Maker's Mark releases a commemorative charity bottle for the event each year, and in keeping with the tradition of honoring Cincinnati area sports stars, this year's bottle honors former Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Boomer Esiason. The 375-milliliter bottles will go on sale this week at liquor stores in the Cincinnati area only. Proceeds benefit the Boomer Esiason Foundation for Cystic Fibrosis Research. Esiason will sign bottles at the track on race day. By the way, the annual Maker's Mark Thoroughbreds and Redheads Weekend is coming up the weekend of April 10th and 11th with the running of the Maker's Mark Mile at Keeneland in Lexington. Look for the annual series of Jim Beam bottles honoring firefighters coming in May. Each year, Jim Beam produces a special bottle with proceeds going to the Terry Farrell Fund. Terry Farrell was one of the 343 New York City firefighters who died at the World Trade Center on September 11th, and the fund helps firefighters and their families nationwide with educational, medical, and equipment needs. Until now, the annual Terry Farrell Fund bottles have only been available in the northeastern U.S., but this year they'll be available in 22 states. Last time around, I mentioned the results of the McTeers Whiskey Auction in Glasgow, February 25th. Bonhams held its spring auction this past week in Edinburgh. One of the common threads, a Macallan Royal Marriage bottling, sold for £504 at Bonhams. The same expression sold for £600 at McTeers a week earlier. A bottle of Kalila 15-year-old Manager's Dram went for £540. A bottle of 50-year-old Mortlach, distilled in 1936, sold for £552, while a 31-year-old Macallan Glenlivet from 1938 went for £744. A two-bottle lot with a 22-year-old Brora and a 23-year-old Tianich sold for £720. And a 40-year-old Laphroaig distilled in 1960 went for £1,056. A 21-year-old bottle of Port Ellen produced for the 25th anniversary of the Port Ellen maltings in 1998 and bearing the names of the distillery staff sold for £1,500. And the star of the night, a vintage bottle of Highland Park 12-year-old, went for £1,860. Now, L'chaim is the traditional Jewish toast for to life. It's not clear, though, whether one of the lost tribes of Israel wound up on the side of a Scottish loch, but Loch Chaim is a new line of independent bottlings. The line includes single cask bottlings from Aberlour, Glengarry, Longmorn, Linkwood, and the Macallan, all between 16 and 18 years old. And since they were all aged in ex-bourbon barrels, they're considered kosher under Jewish law. Now, if you want to find out exactly why that is, check the Whiskey Cast archives for episode 134 from March of last year, when Ari White explained it at New York's Kosher Whiskey Festival. Time now for the calendar of events, brought to you by Laphroaig. Whiskey Life Belgium is this coming weekend in Verbiers. John Hansel of Malt Advocate will hold one of his rare whiskey tastings at DBA in New York City the 23rd. The Whiskey Festival Noord-Nederland is coming up March 27th through the 29th in Groningen. The Whiskies of the World Expo is the 28th in San Francisco. The Liquor Barn in Lexington, Kentucky will host the Barons of Bourbon Day that same day, with some of Kentucky's master distillers on hand to sign bottles. Whiskey Mesa is the 28th and 29th in Vienna, Austria. Whiskey Live New York is the 30th. Binney's in Chicago will hold its World of Whiskies night on the 31st. And Malt Advocates Whiskey Fest Chicago is the next night on April 1st. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the Whiskey Cast website. And it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask.
Hi there, my name's John Campbell, Distillery Manager at Laphroaig Distillery. Become a friend of Laphroaig. Claim your own square foot of Islay at Laphroaig.com.
Whiskey lovers descended on the Madison Hotel in Morristown, New Jersey this past Thursday night for the Whiskey Classic. It's sponsored by the Whiskey Guild and Whiskey Life magazine, and publisher Jeff Karlovich put the attendance at around 500 people.
I'm very happy. You know, we're trying to step it up a little bit, up a notch from different venues, and we're in a beautiful, beautiful venue, and more vendors, and the magazine is doing really, really well. Our circulation has doubled in a year. Our vendors and the show has doubled, and we added a Boston show, Spirit of Boston, which is a whiskey cruise. We did a Spirit of D.C. as well, so that's another event. So now, right now, we have four events. We have New York, New Jersey, D.C., and Boston, and I couldn't be happier from the turnout, and we've been sold out for 2 weeks now. And with economical times, we try to keep the tickets a little bit lower, so people can go out and still enjoy themselves.
By the way, the Boston Whiskey Dinner Cruise is coming up May 13th. The highlight of the night was Wild Turkey master distiller Jimmy Russell, fresh off his debut as a political activist. A couple of weeks ago, I reported Jimmy's role in a protest at the Kentucky State Capitol in Frankfort over a plan to raise liquor taxes. Jimmy dumped a bottle of bourbon on the steps of the Capitol, or so it was reported at the time. But Jimmy told me there's more to the story.
No, that's what everybody said, Did y'all have bourbon in that? I said, yeah, but we don't have much snow in Kentucky. And it was snow there on the steps. I said, I poured mine in the snow and made a bourbon slush so the people could get it out. And a lot of people standing around said, you poured that in the snow? I said, yeah. Get on out of here. we're getting taxed. I think the state of Kentucky is the third highest tax state on bourbon anywhere. In most states, the home product is less taxed. But bourbon is always Kentucky cigarette tax, back tax. Kentucky's another, that was another thing. They raised the cigarette tax is 30 cents a pack, which is 60 cents now. I expect up here you're paying $2 or $3 a pack tax on it. They've always protected California and the wines. They protect their business with the tax structure, but Kentucky doesn't. They, every time they get a chance, it's that sin tax. And most of Kentucky is still in prohibition. Most of the counties are over three-fourths of the counties are dry. You cannot buy any alcohol beverages in it, and we make all the bourbon for the world.
I'll have more with Jimmy on an upcoming episode, and if you're heading to Whiskey Fest Chicago at the end of the month, he'll be on hand that night. Chicago is also where you can find some of the newest whiskeys from the Wild Scotsman, Jeff Topping.
I got my new Wild Scotsman Black Label Scotch Malt Whiskey, which is a bit bolder expression than my 15-year-old. It's only four casks instead of the 10, and it has a really kind of a lightly peated taste to it. It's my first time I've ever used a wine cask. I used a Fino Sherry barrel, which gave it a lot of color. People kind of remark on my new brand having a little bit of color to it and a kick. So I was pretty pleased with the new creation and the new packaging, this new look, new logo look. And I think that people will find it a bit more appealing off the shelf.
Now, this was your first experience with doing a finish. How did it work out for you?
I think it worked out fantastic. Part of my training with John has been to learn the nuances of the whiskeys and how they meld together. And the first time using this wine barrel, really brought the whiskeys together in a kind of a different way than my 15-year-old. It's just different. One's not better than the other. It's just down to taste. But I was pretty pleased. While we're talking about John, he's got a new selection or two out, right?
Yes, he does. We have the John McDougall's Vatted Islay, which is four casks from Islay. It's more of a reminiscing about John's career at Lafroy from 70 to 74. He has a cask of Ardbeg, a cask of Lafroy, a cask of Beaumont, and a cask of Brooklotti, and it's pretty amazing. It's a cask strength, 54.7%. And which gets a bit serious for Islay whiskey. And I would say that the Ardbeg gives it the punch, the Lafroy gives it the depth, the Beaumont gives it kind of sea air, sea salt mix, and the Brooklotti really brings it around with a bit of sweetness, and which is quite surprising. And he also has a new Bladnock 18-year-old, which we have in country. I'm showing a bottle today. We actually have 11 sellable cases, six-pack cases. And it'll probably be pushed out in the Chicagoland market. So start looking up your Chicago retailers if you want a bottle.
How's business going?
Business is actually going pretty well. I mean, with the economy, you think that things would be dropping off a bit. I think for us as a company, we're going to start doing a lot more private label products for people. And also, we've just releasing a brand new blend, a run-of-the-mill blend, believe it or not, and that's designed more for the Asian markets. And we're demoing this out in Illinois and Ohio, and right now it's starting to take off. And it has a shelf price of between $19 and $21 a bottle. So that's how we're gonna make it through the downturn in the economy, is just, you know, put out a product that people can afford.
By the way, Jeff will be leading a tasting in Columbus, Ohio, with John McDougall at Smith & Walensky's Steakhouse on March 26th. Just one table over from Jeff was another guy with so much passion for whiskey that he started his own distillery. Rick Wassman owns Copper Fox Distillery in Virginia, which has been known in the past for its moonshine, but Rick's making single malt and rye whiskeys in Virginia.
We're the only distillery in North America currently that's malting our own barley. Hopefully we can get some guys in the States interested in hopping on the bandwagon, but Virginia is a great place to grow barley. We malt. I had an idea. The reason I got into the business is I had an idea to malt and flavor our malt differently. We use applewood and cherrywood smoke to flavor our malt versus the peat like Scotch whiskey. So gives our whiskey a distinct flavor off the bat. We age it a little bit differently, and we just have a lot of fun fair amount of passion for making whiskey.
Rick has followed in the footsteps of the guys at Premium Bottlers in Toronto and their Whiskey Works kit with a twist. Rick also has tabletop-sized new white oak barrels available, but his are in 2, 5, and 10-liter sizes. And he sells new make malt and rye spirit with the barrels for you to age to your taste. The ideal time's about 4 to 5 months. I tried some 7-month-old malt, and the oak was somewhat overpowering, but still very drinkable. But Rick also does something with his main line of whiskeys that flies in the face of conventional distilling.
What we've done with our single malt that we do in the bigger barrels is we use, in the aging process, in the maturation process, we use a progressive series of toasted applewood and oakwood chips. But the applewood comes out and gives it such a different flavor that... for me, once you go down the applewood path, there's no turning back. A bourbon with just one wood, just oak, is very one-dimensional to me.
Copper Fox is located in Sperryville, Virginia, about 70 miles south of Washington, and Wassman's Single Malt is available at Virginia State stores, along with liquor stores in Maryland and the District of Columbia. Now, Rick doesn't use peat in making his whiskeys, but the folks at Ardbeg sure do, and the latest release from Ardbeg is now available in the U.S. Dorothy Baker Lee gives us the details on Ardbeg Supernova.
Supernova has officially landed. It is available as of March 1st, and it is available in New York at Park Avenue Liquors, Astor Wine and Spirits, and Morell & Company. It is also available in Massachusetts. Please go to ardbeg.com. And you can also go to mhusa.com/Ardbeg to find a complete list of outposts in six different markets.
Will it be expanded over time?
I cannot confirm nor deny, but that would be a serendipitous surprise, which may just happen. But I can't confirm it.
And for people who aren't quite sure what the Supernova is, explain what it is.
It is just a rush of peat, yet very balanced, over 100 parts per million phenols, thanks to the mastery of our master distiller, Dr. Bill Lumsden, and whiskey creator, Rachel Barry. It's incredibly balanced, like I said, and the peat kind of kicks in a bit later, probably within, I'd say, 2 to 3 minutes after having your first sip, and you just have to brace yourself. But again, it's the alcohol is cask strength, but it's still very smooth, and you might like to have a drop of water, but you know, it's definitely something to sit and contemplate and enjoy, and hopefully you know, we'll be more enthusiasts will have an opportunity to enjoy Supernova.
A few weeks ago, I mentioned that Ardbeg has been hinting at plans for a variation of Supernova to go into wider release around the Islay Festival at the end of May. I'll post the links Dorothy mentioned at the WhiskeyCast website. Now, Morristown is about half an hour or so away from one of the East Coast's best liquor stores. I've mentioned Bayway's World of Liquors in Elizabeth, New Jersey on several past episodes and spent some time with Pat McCarthy and his tasting panel back in episode 80. Bayway's now has its own line of single cask scotches under the Whiskey Peddler label.
We have a Glenrothes and a Macallan, both 1990 vintages. Macallan is nice. It's cask strength. Bourbon barrel, so you don't have the normal Macallan sherry, and they're doing very well. I have, out of the barrels, I probably have about 35 to 40 bottles left of each. And that's in a short period of time.
And you guys have really gotten aggressive with the single cask bottlings.
Yes. We do a lot with the bourbons. We do the bourbons so fast that the bourbon companies can't keep up with us now. We were talking to Jimmy about doing some of his now, too. Especially, there's one I'm interested in doing that nobody does as a single barrel. But they have to look on that. I won't tell you which one. When we have it, I'll give you a call.
What else you got coming out in the near future?
We're waiting for the newest vintage of the Evan Williams. We have the barrel selected. They just have to bottle it, label, ship it. The Eagle Rare and Elmer T, and we go through them in a few weeks now. So we're waiting for more to come with that. It was just asked about doing an Irish single malt, so we have to see.
Bayways is still working on a website for online sales, but there's an email address for orders at the WhiskeyCast website. Finally, I want to thank the members of the Whiskey Guild online community. It's one of several that I take part in when I can, and I finally got to meet some of the members Thursday night, along with many other WhiskeyCast listeners. If I tried to name names, I'd leave someone out, but it was a pleasure to meet everyone that night, and thanks for all of your kind words about the show. By the way, I did taste a few outstanding whiskeys that night, and I've updated the ratings page at the WhiskeyCast website with the latest ratings. That's also where you'll find links, the calendar of events, the WhiskeyCast store, links for the WhiskeyCast Facebook page and my Twitter feed, along with the complete archive of past episodes. The address is www.whiskeycast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. I'd love to hear from you. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2009, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. To close things out, as the economy gets worse and worse, the Austin Lounge Lizards. Thanks for listening.
Every morning when I punch my time card at the plant, I try to be a pleasant guy, but lately I just can't. Overwork and underpay are poison in my mind. Until I'm on a bar stool, I don't believe it's quitting time. I need industrial strength, tranquilizer, shot of Old Crow, and a glass of Budweiser to help survive inflation with falling pay. It takes industrial strength, tranquilizer, shot of Old Crow, and a glass of Budweiser to help the working man through the working day. Bosses in the boardroom talk of productivity, but they just mean to put the screws to working stiffs like me. If we're good and work real hard, we save our pay until we're able to afford the kind of crap they make us build. I need industrial strength,
tranquilizer, a shot of Old Crow and a glass of Budweiser to help survive inflation with falling pay. It takes industrial strength, tranquilizer, a shot of Old Crow and a glass of Budweiser to help the working man through the working day. Here amongst the employees, some of us are street smart and some have PhDs. We're all bored and tired, but we've all found ways to cope. Some of us drank after work, the rest of us smoked dope. I need industrial strength, tranquilizer, shot of Old Crow and a glass of Budweiser to help survive inflation with falling pay. It takes industrial strength, tranquilizer, shot of Old Crow and a glass of Budweiser to help the working man through the working day. To help this working man through the working